Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. The current series from the book of Nehemiah is called Uncomfortable. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to another exciting day on the Everyday Truth Podcast. Sometimes I feel like I'm a cheesy radio announcer.
Yeah, it's funny, even just before the podcast you're talking about, since I'm not as used to podcasts, you were commenting how you need to act a little bit more energetic than usual, you know, just to make it not sound so dreary. And so I even find myself kind of, you know, feeling that same way.
Right. I mean, we want to fake our authenticity.
We're really putting it in practice.
Or at least be authentic about our faking.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I really wish is that you hear these guys. We have this older man in our church who has this rich, deep bass voice. Mm-hmm. And I thought, why couldn't I have had that voice?
Yeah.
That Adrian Rogers voice.
Yeah.
You know,
that'd be nice.
Oh my goodness. I almost said Aaron Rodgers, but I think he's a football player.
Right.
Anyway, we're in Nehemiah chapter 3, and I honestly thought, Caleb, that when I almost dreaded getting into Nehemiah chapter 3 because I thought, oh my goodness, all these unpronounceable names. And then yesterday we did the episode. And I realized, wow, how rich the Word of God is. And the fact is, we didn't even cover all the things that we wanted to cover yesterday.
Right.
From Nehemiah chapter 3. We talked about the importance of the cause, and we talked about the importance of the people in that cause, and how God gives attention to every individual person, and how every individual person, when he puts his mind to the work, the cause can get done. Many hands make light work. And that principle is illustrated so effectively in Nehemiah chapter 3. But I wanted to talk a little bit today about the way by which Nehemiah organized the people. Because organization is not a dirty word when it comes to the Lord's work. Mm-hmm. I know that there has been a little bit of a pushback by people toward the modern church about organization because, you know, you ought not make the church like a business and the church shouldn't be like a corporation. And I get that. I totally get that. That the church is an organism, but we are to do things decently and in order.
Right.
And organization is a tool by which processes and causes can become much more effective. Would you agree?
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. There's definitely a balance. It's making sure, like you said, understanding that the church is an organism, but at the same time, you know, there needs to be, and I think it's very clear, as we'll point out today, that God is a God of order. And that things need to be structured.
And he uses leaders like Nehemiah to help galvanize people and to put the work into bite-sized pieces so that everybody can have his part in that work. We did a scripture assembly project. For those of you unfamiliar with that, we assembled some John and Romans gospel pamphlets together. And it's a great thing. If your church has never done it, it's a great thing to do. Mm-hmm. And literally everybody in our church had a job.
Yep.
Some were assembling, some were stapling, the kids were carrying the bundles from one place to another, and they were a great blessing. And it did so much for our church that day, because everybody was pulling the rope together.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's definitely a scripture assembly project is a fantastic project for a church to do. And my wife and I were stapling while we were doing it.
You were staplers.
Staplers, yeah. And
I was the cutter.
Yeah, I thought I was the best stapler, but the very end, Cassie leaned over to me and pointed out that she had done far more than I did. But I lost that competition, but it was neat
but
to see.
But you were more humble.
Oh,
she,
of course.
She was exhibiting a very competitive spirit.
Yeah, I'm giving her praise publicly, and I'm just exhibiting the fruits of the spirit.
Let's move on. So what I see with organization in this chapter is I see at least four components of organization right here in the Word of God that I think could help each one of us, whether you're working on galvanizing your family to be more productive as a family, at the workplace, your local church. I mean, there are so many applications to this. But what I see in the chapter as far as organization is I see number one priority, that Nehemiah is setting the priority. The priority right now is all hands on deck. We're getting the wall built. Because if the wall were not built, no other work has value. Because what value does the work of a goldsmith have? What value does the work of a sheep herder have if the city is unprotected? Mm. So safety, protection is paramount. That now becomes our priority. And in ministry, there are different seasons where different aspects become the priority. Because were it not for that one thing, you know, there was a season back at our church in Pennsylvania where the priority was building a building. Now, I think sometimes a church can become distracted with needless building projects. Mm-hmm. But for us in that season, we needed a building because we could not put everybody in our other building. So that became the priority. So part of leadership is recognizing what the priority is in the moment. Mm-hmm. Whether that be a physical priority, like building something, or a spiritual priority, like our church really needs to hone in on what forgiveness means, or we really need to deal with a backbiting, gossipy spirit in our church, whatever that might be, leadership needs to ascertain that priority. And then I find in the actual effecting of the work, Nehemiah, and this is throughout the chapter, Nehemiah puts them in their family groups to work together. So he divides the nation into these small groups and lets them work together on their project. And that's so much like the effective churches that I have seen in my travel and going to different churches. I've seen so many great examples of effective churches, and of all the churches I've seen that are effective, I've seen this principle at play, and that is vibrant small groups. So whatever you call them, life groups or adult Bible fellowships, or maybe you're real old school and call them Sunday school classes for adults, it doesn't make a difference what you call them. But small groups that where people know everyone else's name, they interact, they love each other, there's an esprit de corps, there's a gung-ho, which really means work together, that's where there is effectiveness. And I see that in chapter 3. I see the Tekoites working together. I see these family groups working together. So the people that with whom I work most effectively are the people I know best. Have you ever worked in, I'm trying to think, Caleb, through your job history, but when, you know, my job history, I had a bunch of different jobs in college. And when you go work, like I remember working at RPS, which is kind of a knockoff of UPS, and going in and loading trucks and with a couple other guys. I remember when I first started doing it. I was more in the way than I was a help. But over time, working with the same people, there was kind of this unspoken productivity that took place because I knew exactly how he was going to move. I knew exactly where that box was going to go. Yeah. There was a sync that we got into.
Yeah, no, I remember one of my summer jobs, we we installed countertops and things like that. And at first it was nobody wanted to take me because I'm the new help. I don't really know what I'm doing. And I felt the same way, kind of in the way. But then once you start to learn the system and you're with somebody, then that there brings that connection. There brings that fluidity into the job. And that's what we see here in this passage.
It's priority.
Yeah.
It's small group. Then I think the third aspect to organization is skill set. So he uses different skill sets to work on different areas. And that's so illustrative of the New Testament, where God gives different skill sets. That's what a spiritual gift is, by the way. A spiritual gift is a gracious bestowment of ability, supernatural ability upon a person at the moment of his salvation. So God sees the need to make people different. And we need to celebrate our diversity.
Yep.
How politically correct does that sound? but it's true.
Yeah.
Because it's only as we work together with our separate skill sets that the job can really see success. So priority, small group, skill set, and then job description. Nehemiah was very specific about, you're going to do this. You're going to start at this section. You're going to be done and work until this section. You're going to work next to these people. I mean, the expectations were very clearly delineated.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you go to a job and you're just kind of thrown in, you don't know what to do. You don't know where to start, where it ends, what time I'm supposed to be there.
So frustrating.
It is frustrating. It's frustrating. And we see a great template in Nehemiah chapter 3 of what a godly, productive leader provides for people. Organization, priority, small group, organizing their skill set, giving job descriptions. But none of that, Caleb, matters if the last thing I really want to talk about, the last component is not in place. And I'll call that attitude. Attitude. Because what you have in Nehemiah chapter 3 is you have people with an attitude to work. And what's really interesting to me is one of the contemporaries of Nehemiah is the prophet Malachi. Mm-hmm. So Malachi and Nehemiah were probably buddies.
Yeah.
And Malachi, in his small book, the last book in the New Testament, one of the things that Nehemiah, the issues with which Nehemiah deals, is the fact that people are not working with a good attitude. But I don't see that in chapter 3 here.
No.
So it just goes to show you that good people can sometimes digress, can't they?
Yeah.
And Nehemiah even said in Malachi chapter 1, he said, is there anybody that will shut the door that would be a doorkeeper, a small job in the temple for naught? In other words, for nothing. Everybody wants remuneration for everything they do. Is there anybody that will just serve God because they want to? That was Malachi's frustration. And yet I don't see that in Nehemiah chapter 3. So the attitude is good. And in order for a work to get done, there has to be individual humility. I've got to be willing to say, it's not about me. So what I see again in this chapter is I see rulers, I see people that have other skill sets, but for a season, everyone's kind of willing to lay down their ego, willing to lay down, you know, their importance, their title, to say, let's be humble, let's be flexible, let's be unified, let's get the job done. And I think one of the greatest examples of that, and I'll close with this, Caleb, is verse 14. The dung gate repaired Malchiah, the son of Rechab, the ruler of part of Beth-Hakarem. He built it. So what's the dung gate? That's the gate where all the garbage would go out. So the sheep gate, that's what the priests did. That's where the sacrifices would come in. That's an important gate. But then here's the dung gate where the garbage goes out. And yet here's this guy who's a ruler. Here are these people working on this. And sometimes in life, we've got the sheep gate. And then sometimes in life, we've got the dung gate. Uh-huh. I thought about some of our dear people over the years. I'm thinking through our church here in Virginia and our church in Pennsylvania, back our, you don't remember this, Caleb, our church in Connecticut, and thanking the Lord for people that were willing to do the unattractive job, mm-hmm. the dung gate job. But if it's done for the Lord, it's a great job.
Yeah.
I love the verse, and we'll end with this, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Whatever we do it for the Lord, and that makes it great. God bless you, my friends. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.